This is the fourth Sunday in Advent and Christmas Eve. Today we light four candles. The first Sunday we lit the candle of hope. On the second Sunday we lit the candle of love. On the third Sunday we lit the candle of joy. Today we light the candle of peace. Our world is not always a peaceful world. People hurt other people. Countries are at war today. People don't take care of the world. People yell and scream at other people. But God promises peace. During Advent, we pray that we, as well as all the people, will seek God's peace. When we look at the fourth candle, we remember God's promise of peace. We recall the words of Jesus in John 14:27, "Peace, I promise, I leave with you, my peace I give you." In times of war and hatred, it's hard to remember that Jesus is the one who brings peace. As we approach Christmas, let's remember that God's intention is a place of peace, where people shake hands instead of harm one another. Let us hear now a familiar passage from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. "In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration. It was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." Who are the people in our world who need God's peace? What are the hopes for peace in our world today? How do we help others to know God's desire for peace in our world? Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for those in our world today who seek to act for peace. Help us to look for ways to be peacemakers at home, at church, and at school. Amen.
Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be true, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing can be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God.
You know, we have to be honest, don't we? Sometimes Christmas doesn't come with peace. Sometimes love gets strained. Sometimes hope seems fleeting and joy. Really? It's a time of tension, worry, stress. When am I going to get so-and-so? Will they like it? How many of you have been shopping and stood there and said, "Oh, just what should I get them?" You know? What do you do? I know that I am hard to shop for. I know, because I'm an oddity. What do you get somebody that already has more toys than he knows what to do with? You know, what do you do? You wonder, what can I get them? And then you go, they're not the only one that I've got to get for. And you peek and you go, "Oh, no." And then you go, "Okay, we'll do this and see how that goes." And it don't go well, does it? You know, we kind of get that overextended. But Christmas, I want us to kind of get away from that for a moment. We'll come back to pieces of that in a minute. You know, this passage of Scripture, it's the Christmas Eve thing. Tonight we'll do the Luke one I read a minute ago. But this morning we're looking at Mary. And you know, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, "Mary." And that the Greek actually says, "You are highly favored by God." Yeah, what made her so special? Of all the people in the world, even in Judea, in that Palestinian region, in that area, that Fertile Crescent, the Mesopotamia, what made Mary so special? What got God's attention about Mary? Well, I searched for that and I found something in this text that let me know a little bit more about Mary. And it was in three words. I had saw these words before when I read Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah, you remember, is the one that gave us the prophecies about Jesus coming, right? About the boy born of the virgin, and so many of the prophecies about the Messiah that Jesus fulfilled. It was in that wording, and then I remembered this guy named Moses, who didn't want to go, you remember? And he finally asked God a question. And he said, "Okay, I'll go, but who do I tell him sent me?" You remember that story? Well, if not, let me catch you up for just a second. At the end of the story, God says to Moses, "Tell them that I am sent you." Now, how many of you have done introductions before? Nobody? Two or three? So you don't know anybody. How many of you have looked at that and said, you've been sent by someone, and you have to introduce yourself? And you say, I am sent me. Right? Every time, right? Well, who sent you to talk to me? I am. Well, I know you are. So who sent you? I am. Who's I am? That's not a name, is it? But I want you to notice something. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is seated in the throne room of God. Uzziah is dead. Isaiah sees that he's a sinner. He says, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in a land of people of unclean lips. For woe unto me, for I have seen the glory of God. An angel comes and burns his lips with a fire coal and says, your iniquities, your sins are forgiven. And then Isaiah hears the Lord high lofted up in the temple, and he says, whom shall we send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I. Fast forward, Mary says, here am I. Now, that's not the right way to phrase that, is it? We would say, here I am, right? How many of you would say, if somebody says, where are you? How many of you would say, here am I? Come on, you'd say it, wouldn't you? No, you would. You'd say, here I am. I'm over here. Look over here. But Mary sounds like Isaiah, doesn't she? Mary knew Isaiah, but Mary knew more than that. And Mary knew that Isaiah had to pick his words carefully. For Isaiah couldn't say, here I am, because I am was God. So Mary knew that Isaiah knew, and Mary knew, I'm in the presence of God, I got to watch what I say. So I know that by her saying that, Mary was familiar with Scripture. Do you know how odd that was for a 15, 16-year-old Jewish girl? She was well taught in Scripture. She knew the right words to say to Gabriel. Do you know what else I noticed? Mary never made a single excuse. She only asked one question. How many of you would have wanted to have been told what Mary was told? You know, Moses said, well, I can't go. They don't like me. I killed that old boy down there, you know, and I stutter and all of this stuff. He made excuses. I always say Moses was a Methodist. You know, he made excuses. I can't, I got this and that's going, you know, I got a bucket full, you know. But Mary doesn't. She doesn't. Isaiah had to repent of his sins, had to have his lips burned with a fire coal, all that stuff. But Mary, all she says is, you know, you told me I'm going to get pregnant in my womb, and how's that going to happen? Because, you know, that would be a good question. You know, that would be a good, valid question. But after the angel explains it to her, then he reassures her about another miracle that she, remember, Mary's knowing Scripture here. And he says to her, this is the sixth month with your cousin Elizabeth. Oh, Elizabeth, that woman's about 75 or 80 years old, and she ain't had no babies. And then the angel says, she's pregnant. What? That reminds me of Abraham and Sarah. God at work. Whew. See, Mary, I think Mary was special and favored because Mary had a relationship with God in God's Word. Mary knew the law, but Mary kept the spirit of the law. There was something Mary did that we need to learn ourselves. And I'll come to the message now. Here I am. Mary humbly says, here am I. I'm not God. I don't want to be God. I can't be God. It's just me. Here am I. Let it be unto me according to you. Behold your servant. Behold. And you know the rest of the story. Well, Pastor, what's this for me on Christmas Eve? Let me share this with you. I noticed something else that Mary did that we need to learn to do ourselves today and every day. Mary did not define herself. Did you see that? Mary didn't say, I can't. Mary didn't say, I won't. Mary didn't say, I'm engaged. Mary didn't say, what will the community think? Mary didn't say, this can't happen. Mary didn't give all of those things, all of those reasons. Mary didn't define herself as this poor Jewish little girl engaged to this man. Mary didn't do any of that, did she? She didn't define herself at all. How many of us find that we get defined like it or not? Come on. You get defined, don't you? Do you know what's really fun about being defined? What happens when you retire, Linda? Do you lose your definition? You're just that retired person from the school now, right? But you're defined. You're the retired person from school. Maybe you have some kids or something. But how many of you have been defined by your kids? Every one of us who have teenagers, we lose our name, don't we? We become the parent of, you know, with the transportation department of, you know, and the supplier of food of, and the one who pays the electric and the cell phone of. You know, we get defined, don't we? I got some teachers in the house. How many teachers we got in the house? Come on, stand up. Don't put your hand up. Stand up. You'll get a break and you won't be so naughty. Look at all these teachers in here. Now look at this. You're defined, aren't you? You're a teacher. How many of you get introduced and say, well, that's Carrie, she's at the junior high, and that's Mark, he teaches math, by the way. And Nick, he retired, and he was over the discipline of stuff, too, you know. He was the bad guy, you know, he's tough guy, the enforcer. And Donna, have you saw her car? You need to go look at Donna's car. It's cool. It's beyond cool. It looks like a teacher mobile. It's got all this wonderful stuff. You need to go look at Donna's car. I think all you teachers ought to have a car like that. That way you're further defined. You know? How many of you get defined as a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandma? Put this on and you'll find out about being defined. You know? Just put it. I encourage you. I'll loan it to you. It may be too large, but you can pull it around and, you know, whatever. I'll just loan this to you. Watch what happens. I promise you, wear this to a Christmas party. You want to know what a box looks like? Pooh, pow, you're in it, you know. Yeah, watch it over there. You can't have a drink. He's looking, you know. Okay, you know. It's the way you get defined, don't you? You get defined by your education. You get defined by your job. You sometimes get defined by your hobbies. Sometimes you get defined by your reputation. Sometimes you get defined by your family. So you get defined by a lot of stuff, don't you? And then the world wants to put us in the box. Once they get us defined, get our labels, get it engraved, put it, yeah, there you go. That's who you are. You're Mark Bedard, the math teacher. Carrie, you're the language arts teacher. That's it. That's it. It's you. Don't you get out of that box. How dare you get out of your box? And the world wants to do what? Stuff you back in it just as quick. And we do that with God, don't we? We define God. We put him up on the box and we get him out when we need him. Somebody died. Oh, get my God box out, you. Somebody sick, cancer. Oh, get my God. We define him, don't we? Grandpa, big, long, gray beard, sat up there just waiting on us to come around and ask for something, you know. He's our Santa in heaven, isn't it? We take our shopping list. We define God as that who to whom we turn to when nothing else works. I tell people, if we were to start there, it'd go a lot better. You know, how many of us men read the instructions before we have struggled? Come on, we look at them, don't we? We look at them. How many times have we had to go find them? I've told you about my Sears swing set. It was the biggest swing set Sears made. It had teeter sodders and slides and all of that stuff, swings and monkey bars. That thing was 35 feet wide. The instruction manual was 84 pages. And I thought, I don't need that. I work on cars for a living. I pitched it in the burn barrel. I'm glad I didn't light it up because I got all them bags and they were A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Go get them. Do you know what this is? It's the Bible. It's one of them. I heard somebody else got a new one for Christmas, but anyway, it's kind of nice to pick out our own presents. It's cool. So Sherry, you be quiet. What does the acronym, what's Bible stand for? Come on. Basic instructions before leaving earth. This may be a good one to start with, you know. Jesus did die for our sins, and one of these days we're going to check out. But folks, we need to be careful. The one thing that I learned about Mary was she didn't define herself. She didn't let herself be defined by society, and we don't need to be defined by ourselves, by society, or by others, or by educations, or by all of those things. Because every one of us are more than what we've been defined by. You see, if we define ourselves and we let others define us, then we're putting ourselves in a box made of earthly things that are finite and limited. We need to let God define who we are. And we'll know that to be unlimited. Let God define us, not our situations, not our economic status, not by the things people have done to us that hurt us, not by the things that challenge us and push us and bind us and tie us and tempt us. Let us not be defined by those things of this world, but let us be defined by the things of God. Let God define us. God redeems us. God forgives us. God empowers us. God is with us. God is among us. We call him Emmanuel. Jesus came as the light, the true light, and the darkness cannot overcome it. When we bring Jesus into our life, let us let the light of Christ define who we are, not the darkness of doubt around the world today. May we know this Christmas Eve that I am not and you are not defined by what we are in the world's standards. We're not defined by the pain and the agony that make up our life. And we are not defined by what somebody else puts their thumb on us to make us. God lets us be free. May we be defined by God. And then we'll know what the angel said to Mary was true. With God, all things are possible. May we borrow Mary's phrase, here am I, a blank slate, ready to be defined by God. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. The one thing I do know is we're all a work in progress. He's not finished with us yet. We get second and third chances and as many as we need. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, it's really hard to not let stuff define me. Pray for me that I may not be defined by those things. Slip your hand up if that'd be you. Pastor, help me not to define others, but to let God do that. Pray for me this week. Slip your hand up and take it right. Amen. Pastor, I'm just struggling with some stuff. Holiday season's kind of tough, beating me up a little bit. Uncertain, unsure, uneasy, filled with heart and pain. I want to be set free. I don't want to feel that. I want to know the joy of Christmas and the Christ of Christmas. If that'd be you, I want to pray for you especially hard today. If you'll slip your hand up. For just a minute. Amen. Pastor, I just got some stuff coming up. I need some extra prayer so I can make a good decision and a right decision. If that's you, slip your hand up. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, before you we bring our hearts, the good, the bad, the pretty, the ugly, the strong, the weak. We bring it all before you today. Father, we bring our boxes, not with ribbons and bows, but the boxes that are often put around us and put on us. Maybe we didn't want them, but we took them anyway. Father, we bring those boxes to you and we ask that you open them and that you define them. And Father, if we've built a box around ourselves through pain and hurt, through tragedy, through somebody else's deals in our lives, and Father, things beyond our control, it seems, help us to know that it's not beyond your control and that all things are possible. But Father, we must be like Mary. Let it be to me according to your will. If we will be defined by you, then we have to let you define us. For Father, we know that you love us and that you want good for us. Father, you give us strength to follow, strength to lead, strength to witness. It is your Holy Spirit, that Spirit that brought Jesus into this world, that was with Jesus in this world and is sent by him to us today, that will help us know that you are defining us. Father, let us be open, and may we echo Mary's words, "Behold, your servant. Let it be with me according to your will." Let us not be defined, but let us be set free in Christ our Savior. Amen. Now may we go to know Christ of Christmas, new and fresh, to not be defined by the world around us, but to be defined by the Christ in us. Now may you truly go to know Christmas and Christ, peace, love, joy, hope, all of those things as you know Christ. Go in peace and grace through mercy. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.